Our theme for this Christmas season is "A Weary World Rejoices," that little phrase from the song, "O Holy Night." It is a weary world, and we do have reasons to rejoice. Praise God. Perhaps you saw this week where Merriam-Webster, they made the announcement on Monday that the word of the year is pandemic. No surprise. And right up there at the top also was the word unprecedented, because unprecedented has been used in unprecedented ways with unprecedented frequency throughout the year to discuss everything from voting to hurricanes, certainly to a pandemic. And in the midst of the weariness, listen to these words from Jesus out of Matthew chapter 11. One of the great, great invitations from Scripture. "Come to me." This is Jesus speaking. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Now, Jesus has the resources to back up a bold invitation like that. I couldn't say that. And you would think, well, can anyone really say, come to me? It's a megalomaniacal statement, an egotistical statement, unless you can back it up. And Jesus has the goods. And he says, "I want you coming to me, all you who are weary and burdened, excuse me, and I will give you rest." This is one of the many invitations from our Lord. Martha, honey, would you hand me that bottle of water? And I am fine. I may cough a little bit today, but if so, I mean, that's okay. Nothing contagious, you know, I'm all good. But don't feel sorry for me. We'll just sort of get through this. And I've got my water. I've got a cough drop here if I need it. Let me put a photo of a statue up here on the screen. This is the Christ the Redeemer statue from Rio, standing over the city, as if to say, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." But here's the good news. The real Jesus is more than a statue, more than a symbol. He is the real deal, the living Lord and Savior, excuse me, and he is speaking to you today, dear friends. And for those of us who may be burdened by a weary conscience, for those of us who are keenly aware of our need for a good shepherd, the Lord invites us afresh. Okay, reading from Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 20. "Then Jesus began to denounce." Now, we're working towards this wonderful, beautiful invitation, but let's see the context. "Jesus began to denounce," excuse me, "the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed." Why? Because they did not repent. And he says, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you, if they had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, those legendary evil cities in Phoenicia, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it'll be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you'll go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom," everybody knows about Sodom, legendary for their sexual perversion and rebellion against the Lord. "If Capernaum, if Sodom had seen and heard what you have seen and heard, It would have remained to this day. But I tell you, it'll be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Let me put a map up here. It's simply a map of the Galilean region. And at the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, this is ground zero for the Galilean ministry of Jesus. Capernaum, right near it, Chorazin, Bethsaida. You remember the Gospel of John said, if all of the wonderful deeds that Jesus had performed been recorded, the world couldn't contain it all. And right there, Capernaum, Bethsaida, Chorazin, Jesus says, I'm inviting all of you to come to me, but just because I invite, many of you just say no. And it's not like you say no because you don't know. You've seen, you've heard, you've been surrounded by spiritual gourmet experiences. How many of you know that you can grow up in Capernaum, and just because you grow up in Capernaum, that doesn't mean you have a soft heart towards Jesus? How many of you understand that you can be surrounded by gourmet spiritual and religious experiences? And just because you're surrounded by gourmet spiritual experiences, that doesn't mean you have a welcoming spirit towards the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so I'm asking you today, not have you ever heard about Jesus, not have you grown up in the Bible Belt, not have you had some gourmet experiences all around you, but have you welcomed Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and your Savior? You know, there are a lot of folks, they love to put stock in their experiences and who they know, and they've gotten real picky when it comes to their spirituality. All of us need to run with humility towards our great God and King. And so Jesus looks at Capernaum and Bethsaida and Chorazin, and he challenges them because they did not have a penitent spirit. And gang, let me just remind you, don't think that repentance is something we do just when we first come to Christ, or something we do only when we've had a major moral failure. No, repentance is the ongoing, daily, beautiful spirit of a Christian that says, Word of God, Holy Spirit, as you point something in me that needs correcting and adjusting, I want to do that. Because listen, gang, that's where the fun and the joy is. That's where the growth is. That's where the development is. As we go deeper into the kingdom life, as we go stronger in the way of Jesus, and the spirit of repentance, it's not a negative, guilty thing. To the contrary, it's this beautiful wonder from God that where we have the beautiful privilege of, well, what is it Jesus said? I am the good shepherd, and my sheep, they pay attention to my voice. And when there's a nudge here and a prod there, my sheep listen to that, and that's a beautiful thing. Well, Jesus continues speaking here, and verse 25, and he says, now at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. In other words, he's talking here about he's inviting all to come to him, but some people stiff-arm him. And it almost sounds like he's saying here that that the smart and educated do not come to him. That's not what he's saying. Our Lord is not condemning intelligence. If you're intelligent, that's a wonderful gift from God. He is condemning intellectual pride. It is not intelligence that shuts people out of the kingdom. It can be intellectual pride. And it's not intelligence that gets us into the kingdom. Actually, it's humility that does. The Apostle Paul was a brilliant highly educated scholar who brought that intelligence and learning with him in his service to Jesus. Intelligence is a gift from God, but if it is perverted by pride, it becomes a barrier to God. And Jesus says, I'm inviting all, but just like the book of Romans will say, there are some people that professing themselves to be wise, they're really too wise for their own good, and they've become foolish regarding spiritual matters. And then Jesus says, verse 27, a profound statement here, all things have been committed to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal. And so here we are in this Christmas season, and we celebrate Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh. Listen, Jesus here in this statement we've just read, he's saying, I am the exclusive revealer of the Father in heaven. There are not many ways to God. I am the exclusive revealer of the mind and heart of God. And if that is true, and I believe it is, we bow down and we worship Jesus Christ. We adore him. We praise him. We honor him. If we don't believe Jesus' claims, then we need to let go of any foolish notion that he was a quote-unquote good teacher, because his claims are bold. And as we will see again next Sunday, they challenge us to embrace the scandal of particularity, the scandal of exclusivity, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And so here you see, salvation is this wonderful combination of God revealing himself to us and humble hearts receiving that revelation. And, it, you know, all through the Bible, you find this mantra that God indeed gives grace to the humble and he opposes the proud. And now we come to the beautiful invitation, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Notice what he says. All of you who are weary, you're burdened. All of you. You know, I've had people say, well, am I, you know, the Bible talks about election. Am I one of the elect? If you know that you're weary and you're burdened, you want to come to Jesus, he invites you. All who are weary and burdened. You know the taint of sin. You know the brokenness. You know the distance from God. You know what it's like to walk around in a dirty world and no one loves you like Jesus. And he invites you, weary and burdened one, to come to him and find rest. And throughout the Bible, that word rest is synonymous for all the beautiful things God brings us. Our salvation, our refreshing in the Holy Spirit, the promise of eternal rest to come. And this is what Jesus invites us to receive. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke. You know what a yoke is. It's that wooden frame fitted over the shoulders of an animal to harness them so they could plow. When you were yoked, metaphorically, it meant you were under submission. You were connected to another. You were put in a place where somebody else is controlling you. Jesus says, this is no bait and switch. I'm inviting you to come to me, and you're going to find real life here. But you need to take my yoke upon you. You need to learn from me. Learn the revelation of truth that I bring to you. I'm your Savior, I'm your Lord, I'm your teacher. And before he ascended, what else did he say? He said, and I'm sending the Holy Spirit who will guide the apostles into all truth. We have the Word of God. We have the Scriptures. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, walk with me in the school of discipleship, and we will walk together. You know, James Boyce said that a lot of believers want to be elevator Christians. You get on an elevator, you hit the button, it does all the work. It just takes you up. He says, Jesus invites us not to be elevator Christians, but to be stairway Christians. Where we get with him, we walk with him, learning from him, involved in the school of discipleship. And then Jesus says, I'm gentle. I'm humble in heart. In me, you're going to find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Isn't that interesting? He says, my burden is light. It's an oxymoron. A burden has some weight to it. But he says, it's light because I'm always carrying the heavy end. And it's light because your reward far outweighs the weight. And it's light when you compare it to the burden of disobedience and rebellion. Oh, you come to me, weary, broken, guilty, tired, confused, purposeless. Come to me. You take on my yoke. Walk with me. Learn from me. And you will find rest for your souls. Let me put a statement on the screen. I believe the answer to weariness is outside. Now, this comes from a theologian by the name of Dr. David Wells. He's a theologian, professor, author. And he employs the terms the inside God and outside God. And he says, you know, both are legitimate. The Lord reigns, lives within us. But he says, we live in a postmodern age, and a lot of folks love to baptize their own intuitions. You know, the follow your heart, follow your dreams, just follow your intuition. He said, it is imperative that you pay attention to the outside God. This is what he says. This is why we must keep coming back to the first principles. And the most basic of these is the fact that God is there and he is objective to us. He is not there to conform to us. We conform to him. He summons us from outside of ourselves to know him. He says, you come to me. We do not go inside of ourselves to find him. We're summoned to know the living God on his terms. He is not known on our terms. And this summons is heard in and through the Word of God. It is heard in and through the Scriptures. It is not heard through our own inner intuitions. I believe the answer to weariness is when we run to God, to Jesus, who's outside of us and calling us to hear him and follow him. And I ask you to do that in a fresh way today with that spirit of humility, that spirit of ongoing repentance to the Lord. You speak, Lord, I'm listening. With this ongoing sense of praise that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be, and he exclusively reveals to us the way to God, and he exclusively makes that reconciliation and redemption possible. Hallelujah, what a great Savior Jesus is. And in a fresh way today, hear the invitation from Jesus Christ to you and to me. Come to me. Don't just listen to your own intuitions. You'll wear yourself out. Listen to the truth that the Lord gives to you and me in His Word. We live by His promises. We run to Him. We take His yoke upon us, and there we find rest for our souls. Thank you for being with us today. We love you. We're praying for you. We'd love to help. Again, you can contact us, and we're happy to provide Bible study resources. We've got lots of information there on our website, but you just know when you're ready to take a step of maybe having a Bible study with someone, you'd like to have a personal conversation, you're ready to take the step of baptism, we can make that happen, and it would be our joy to do so.